How's it going? This is Greg from the Bouncing Souls, and you're listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. It is a Friday afternoon and Kristen and I are having a rare midday opportunity without kids or distractions to quickly have a little chat. So hello, my favorite Mabel.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. We've had some like major issues with connecting lately, and I have to say that the last 10 minutes talking to you before we started recording has like made me feel absolutely happy.
Yeah, me too.
I miss you.
I know, I miss you too. It's so hard. Like, this is the thing with punk rock for me, and also just my friendships. Like, I have friendships where people live in other places, and it's just heartbreaking, you know? Like, so many people that I love so much live far away, and I don't get to see them or connect with them very often. And it's just, like, it's so hard for me because I just wish people were around and I could talk to them more often. And that's definitely the way it is for you. Like, I know if we lived closer to each other, we would see each other all the time.
We would. We would be like eating fast food in our car in our pajamas on a regular basis.
Well, and you could pick up my kids and I'd pick up yours and like help each other out. And like, you know, that's what it's all about. And this day and age, like internet's great. But it sucks too, because you meet all these fucking awesome people that live far away that you don't get to see very often. And I don't know how else to describe it except heartbreaking. Like, it's just, you know, and I don't know. It's just hard, but.
You know, like we've mentioned before that I've recently moved back to my hometown, and one of my best friends and her family lives here, and I live next door to my parents. And it's been like such a huge reminder of like, you know, how important that is to have that community around you. Like when you just said picking up each other's kids, that's what I'm doing, you know, with my best friend who lives here. And it's just, we live in this country, well, you know, Canada, like it's very huge and very like sparsely populated. Like we have all these major distances between each other with like not a lot in between.
Right.
And it's like that too. Like, I think it's just crazy how like the internet has made us have all these amazing connections, but it also makes it a little more, like you said, heartbreaking, because we're all so connected, but we're so far apart.
Yeah.
Like I would never have met you without the internet, you know, right. And same with a really handful of really good friends that I have now. But as great as that is, it's not getting to hug you.
Right. 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 Or, you know, and our schedules are just different, and finding that time to connect can be really hard. And
I hate time zones.
I know.
I hate them. I don't understand. Why does, oh, never mind. It has to do with the sun, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. There's science involved.
I was just going to say, why can't we just get rid of time zones? But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Because then the sun would go down at like 4 o'clock our time. And I'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, never mind. That doesn't make any sense. Daylight savings. We can all agree to get rid of that shit.
Yeah, that's true. It got better. Like, they fixed it a while ago, right? They made it shorter or something. I don't fucking know.
What?
Well, like, remember how... Okay, you didn't know this? Like,
no.
Like, a few years ago, they switched it the date that we turned the clocks back and ahead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So they made it... like later in the spring and earlier in the fall or vice versa.
See, why do they even do that? Can't they just pick like a happy medium somewhere and just be like, this is what we're all doing?
Yeah.
I hate it.
I don't know.
I dislike it a lot.
Yeah. But you know what? Speaking of Canada, I am really excited to talk to you about the interview that I did.
Yes.
Which is going to be on the second half of this podcast. So the other night I went to a show. Our friends in Rebuilder were playing. And of course, we've already had them on the podcast. So I asked Sal who I should interview. And he was like, you got to interview these guys, the Penske File. And I was like, oh, I've heard of them, but I don't know anything about them. And but I decided to just kind of wing it. And I was like, all right, like we need to learn new music, right? And like new bands. And So I did all this research on them and did the interview, and they're fucking good, first of all. And second of all, they're awesome dudes. Like, they're really, That's really so nice cool. guys. Yeah.
And they're from Canada?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. they are. They're so from Burlington. Do you know where that is?
Burlington. Ontario. Yeah, Burlington, Ontario. I didn't know that. So, like, I have quite a few friends around me that talk about these guys, and I've never really got into them. So I'm excited to hear this interview. I haven't heard it yet. No. I'm excited to hear it and, you know, check out some of their music and play it on my commute.
Yeah. So let me tell you about the band. But one fun thing I did with them, Jess, that you don't even know about is I did this Kristen versus Jessica game.
Oh my God.
And I made them choose sides.
So good.
Yeah. Like Caesars, are they good or are they bad?
Oh, I hope they said good. They're from Canada. They better say they're good.
You gotta listen to the interview to find out.
Oh, I love it.
There's a clear winner. Either you or me, there's a clear winner.
Oh, so great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. But yeah, so anyway, about the band. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, like, live show, their performance. How was their live performance?
Oh my God, so good. Okay, so it's three dudes that met in high school. No, even before that. Sorry, they met as like little kids. They're nice because they're from Canada, so they apologize a lot and they're just super kind and sweet. And what's really cool about them is that Travis was doing like lead vocals and he plays guitar, and Alex plays drums and James plays bass. But then they realized that all three of them are really good singers. So they all sing.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. So it adds like this depth to their music that they have. So they have three different instruments plus three different singers. Actually another instrument, because Travis, the singer and guitar player, also plays harmonica on the songs.
Oh, no, really? I love the harmonica. Yeah.
Oh, you do? I do. Yeah. Then you're going to love this band. And, they have this little bit of like folk kind of, you know, it like gets folky just a tiny bit in their music, and they're excellent musicians. And like I said, the fact that all three of them can sing, I remember when I was doing research on them, it was something like, well, we knew Travis could sing, and then we learned James could sing, and that was awesome. And then the drummer, Alex, all of a sudden he sang and it was like fucking angels came out of his mouth, and they like had no idea.
That's so like, great.
He just happens to be this amazing singer and they had no idea. They're really young. I didn't know how young they were, and this was one of those interviews where I had to hop in the van.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they're only 25.
Oh my God, adorable.
I know. They're so cute. And it was funny because at the show, our friend Jay was there, and he and I were doing the math on it because, okay, so their name, the Penske File, comes from a Seinfeld reference. Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay.
I feel like I Seinfeld. Should.
So George, in one episode, George gets this really important file, but he doesn't know why it's important for his job. And he's just like, yeah, the Penske File. Yeah, that's. I'm right on, like, I'm on it.
Oh, right, yes. Okay, now I remember.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like, important, but he doesn't fucking know why.
Oh, my God.
And so, anyway, so that's the name. But then Jay and I were at the show, and we're like, okay, they're 25. When did Seinfeld? So they were born in 1993. And
oh, my God.
Seinfeld started in 1992 because we were talking about that, and I was like, I don't think they were even born. Like, how do they have this Seinfeld reference and they weren't even born yet?
Oh, they based it off of the reruns.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. So I'm sure they watched Seinfeld growing. I mean, who doesn't watch Seinfeld? Like,
their parents were probably super into it, right?
Right. Their parents are probably
babysitters.
Like, yeah.
Their babysitters were watching it.
Totally.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, they're really nice guys, and they have a new album coming out. I think it's April 4th or April 6th. Shit, I mm-hmm. should know. I did the pre-order of the album, and I have two songs. The first release that they did is called Kamikaze Kids.
Yep.
And that's the song that I think we're going to play at the end of the interview.
Awesome.
Actually, I might play two songs because I have another favorite song of theirs.
Okay. I just pulled them up on Spotify, and I'm downloading everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so the song Damned is the first song off of the album Burn Into the Earth that came out in 2015. So that's a fucking amazing song.
Which, by the way, has like a super amazing album cover.
Oh, I know. Isn't that great?
The album cover's really cool. Yeah.
I should have asked about that. Like, who does their artwork?
That's a great album cover.
Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else. Like, we just had fun, you know, chatting. I should say in the interview, so Rebuilder, as I talked about before, are personal friends of ours. We've had them on mm-hmm. the podcast. They're the ones that said you got to interview these guys, the Penske File, because they've toured together before.
Mm-hmm.
So they are all really close friends. And there's a bunch of kind of, I hope it's not too annoying for people, because there's a bunch of like Rebuilder jokes and questions and like things like that. So,
well, I'm super excited to hear this interview. I love that you get to get out there and do these interviews on your own, because it's so exciting, because I remember when we were so scared to do that, and now you do it all the time. And so this one sounds like it was a super fun one, and I can't wait to check them out.
Well, just the opportunity to be introduced to a new band and really like them as people, and also really like them musically, right? Like, that's so awesome when that happens. And we always talk about, like, we're so stuck in our ways about the bands that we listen to and all that shit, but like, so when it comes together and you have new music that you really love, it's awesome. And I'm stoked to be able to promote these guys, and I really hope everyone listens to them on Spotify or downloads their new album and supports them, because they deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for you for introducing me to something new. I can't wait to listen to it all weekend.
Cool. Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I hope people, you know, check us out on iTunes, and please give us a rating, subscribe to us, all that kind of good jazz. And
iTunes is like the weirdest thing ever. It's like, somehow if people give us ratings and reviews and subscribe on iTunes, it just like puts us out to the world 10 times more than anything else. So
true. Yep.
So do that.
Do that.
So do it today. Do it now.
Yep. And then we'll have the interview with the Penske File. And then I'm going to play two songs. I'm going to play Kamikaze Kids off of their new album. And I'm going to play Damned off of their older album from a couple years ago.
Awesome.
So enjoy.
So I work all winter, I slave through the day. Line my pockets with cords, I save up enough to get me out of the city for a week.
Hey, this is Kristen with Mabel Syndrome, and I'm here with the guys from the Penske File. Thanks for being with me.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So why don't you just introduce yourselves and say what instrument you play. I know you guys all do vocals, so say what instrument you play.
I'm Alex, and I play drums.
Travis, I play the guitar.
James, and I play bass.
All right, so we have some fan questions at the end, but the first fan question that we have is Daniel from Boston wants to know if you guys are racist.
No, definitely not.
I don't think so.
You're panicking.
He said if you laugh, it's anyways.
Yeah, he said if you laugh, you're uncomfortable, and that means you are.
Well, I don't know who this Daniel from Boston is, but if you're listening, stuff it.
He sounds like a dick.
Yeah, he sounds like a total asshole.
Stuff.
So Daniel's a mutual friend, so I just had to put, and he said I should open up with that to just kind of break the ice, so that's why I did. But you guys are from Burlington, Ontario, which of course when I first saw Burlington, I kept thinking Vermont.
Yeah,
as you would. And then I literally had to look on a map and see where Burlington, Ontario is, and for people who follow the podcast a lot, you know that Jessica and I took the road trip out to Chicago this last summer, and we drove past Niagara Falls. Which is kind of close to where you guys are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like even closer to where we live now, which is like slightly outside of Burlington, but it's like, you know, 45 minutes, from Burlington.
Okay.
More or less.
And where do you guys live now?
Hamilton.
All three of you?
Yeah. We all live in different, like, suburbs.
Different, like, parts of Hamilton. Not Hamilton proper, but, like, we're in Stony Creek. He's in Waterdown.
Okay. But you guys used to live together.
Yes.
And you don't anymore?
Right.
No, correct.
Okay. But you were raised in Burlington, Ontario.
The two of us, me and James, were raised in Burlington, and Alex was raised in Waterdown, which is, like, kind of like the sixth finger.
Burlington. I'm just kidding.
Well, like, it's true. We were like, we're gonna get amalgamated to Burlington or Hamilton, and then we ended up being a part of Hamilton. So, but anyways,
to
it's
go
like,
to high school, you mean?
Well, like the city, the town Waterdown was gonna become either a part of Burlington or Hamilton. We became a part of Hamilton,
but it's like, very close to Burlington.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes from Burlington. Ten minutes from Burlington.
It's the difference of Alston to Watertown.
Right.
Just like,
but those are separate
right
cities. Did you guys all go to high school together?
No, none of us did.
Oh, you went to three different high schools?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. Because I did read about your friend Chris that was in the original band, The Bad Names.
Right. He went to high school with Alex.
Oh.
And went to elementary school with me. So he grew up. So basically, like, the story goes, it's like Alex's dad and my dad were really good friends since, like, grade 7 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then right, we just talked about this. So I've known Alex my whole life, and then James moved across the street from me when he was 4. So I basically known him my whole life.
I was forced into this.
Right.
Just like subconsciously. I didn't know it when I was 4, but
right.
We connected over Fruit Loops and now here
as
we
people
are.
Do.
Yeah, and Chris also, when he went to my elementary school, and we were great friends, and he also was kind of, like, into, you know, we're all into, like, pop punk and stuff as, like, kids, and we all just kind of formed the band together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys all, you went to different high schools, but you knew each other. How did you guys know Chris?
So I met Chris in grade 2, and we just, like, were best pals, like, sleepovers, you know, like, pillowcase, like, sack races, and, you know, like just being kids.
Stuff.
Yeah, and then he eventually moved out of town and ended up going to high school in Waterdown with Alex.
Oh.
And they were like two peas in a pod. Like, we were all just kind of a group of best friends who like punk music and played in a band together.
And I know you've cited Blink-182 as kind of like the original. How old are you guys? Do you mind me asking?
25.
20, all 25? Yeah. Okay. And so Blink-182 was like a big influence, obviously.
100%.
But what was it about punk music or maybe the lyrics or the style of music that really stuck to you as kids?
I feel like, Blink-182 kind of opening up, it was kind of like, I feel like it was the perfect like stepping stone into the world, because it was like, I saw it on TV and I was like, this is like the pop music, but it's different, and it's not the same as, like, you know, like, the grunge, where it's, like, or, like, just kind of, like, the heavier rock. It was just, like, it had that poppy element to it, but it also had, like, this sort of, like, I don't know, I guess, like, some sort of edge.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, All the Small Things says it's not that edgy, but, like, when you're in grade 2, you're like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then through that, it just kind of, like, slowly spread out into the entire world of punk rock and, you know, like, Rancid and NoFX and Anti-Flag.
But there's obviously, like, some rebellion and angst and all that kind of stuff in punk rock, right? So what was it about that that stuck with you? Anyone?
I don't know if there was anything like necessarily about the music that made me want to rebel necessarily.
I just loved the sound of the music, and just, I don't know, from a very early age became obsessive about it. And I don't know if it's like a certain rebellion thing, like isn't like, yeah, sure, like, we messed around as kids, but, like, we weren't, like, fucking rebels. Like, we weren't that cool, you know? We just rode our bikes in the forest and,
did
like,
did you guys skateboard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not well.
Spray paint shit.
Yeah.
But not super tough. Not
yeah, right. We were, like, we played Nicky Nine Door, and we were, like, you know, that,
oh, I just
that
learned
was
what
thrill.
That was.
That was a thrill.
I, Jessica and I were talking about that, and I said it was, like, Knock and Run Away. And she's like, no, there's a name for it. I was like, stopped. It's not just Knock and Run Away.
We stopped running away, and we just would stand on the street with a bunch of, like, trees, like, tree branches in front of our faces, and just stand on the street when they came up.
That's so punk rock, though, right?
Yeah, we got creative with it after
yeah,
we got
like,
bored
fuck
of, like,
you,
running.
I'm just standing here with a branch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rebels.
When did you learn to play each of your instruments?
Travis is still learning, but
I think like grade 5 or 6 got a guitar.
Like ask mom and dad for one?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah, I asked for guitar. My dad said you gotta play acoustic first, and if you like that, if you stick with it, then I'll get you an electric. Mm. And I did. So that, yeah, that was me. I think we were all about the same age when we started getting instruments.
This is a sensitive topic for me.
Yes, this is a sensitive topic because the story goes, I guess I don't remember. Well, I do kind of remember because James has not let me forget.
Okay.
But we were supposed to go and do guitar lessons together.
We had a childhood agreement. That is a bond. That you make with
childhood friends. Did you like spit in your hands and shake?
Probably.
Yeah.
And he one day told me about how cool his guitar teacher was.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I didn't have a guitar teacher yet. I had to go on my own path. He didn't even let me join the band for like 5 more years.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was an emotional wreck.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. But you did learn. So you learned bass?
No, I was guitar.
Oh, you learned guitar first.
And then their original bass player quit. Okay. Or didn't quit. I think his mom forced him out of the band because they were cussing too much or something.
Right.
And so then I had already known all the songs and just like, all right, I guess I'll buy a bass, hoping one day that I could play guitar in the band. But then, you know.
Everyone wants to play guitar. Rebuilder said, they're mutual friends of ours. I think when I interviewed them, they said, yeah, we're 5 drummers that just all play different instruments in our band because no one wanted to play drums.
We have seen them all play different instruments, actually, in that band.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they have an alter ego called Lube Rider. And they all switch instruments. We were playing with them in like Savannah, Georgia, and it was this really weird venue. And they're like,
"Wow,
Lube Rider set tonight!" And they like take their Rebuilder sticker. It's Rebuilder, but like the letters are all.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
So it's top secret stuff. Not so top secret anymore.
Right. Oh, you're blowing the lid off.
Yeah.
I like it. Alex, when did you learn to play drums?
Like same time, probably grade 4, grade 5. I think I got a practice pad for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And like 4 months of that, and I was like, Mom, this sucks. I need a drum set. I want to be loud.
Did they move you to the basement?
Yeah, I got a really shitty drum set, put it in the basement, and I think we rented it until I knew or whatever.
I remember that when you rented a drum set, and like you told me, you called me, and I was like, oh, like we're so excited. Like now we can bring this together and like begin. And because it started, and it was like Kleenex box guitar and like my dad's pots and pans, and we like had a song about Blues Clues drinking booze. It was really big.
One of my questions. So Bad Names was your band through kind of grade school?
I think we played it for a show in like grade 7, and then it went right up until like grade 12.
And so what were your songs about? They were about Blues Clues.
That was before that. I think when we were
pretty punk because of that.
Yeah, it was like we were kind of like an Anti-Flag/Operation Ivy worship band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With like a little bit of Real Big Fish worship in there as well. So
did
it was
you
like
have horns?
No. Oh. But we did at times, like Chris Skinner, he played saxophone at a couple shows. Mm-hmm. James played saxophone at a show before he was playing bass in our band. We always kinda wanted a horn section for a bit there. We were definitely like ska kids.
But we had like the ska punk aspect of like the Flatliners first few records.
Yeah, because they were a few years ahead of us in the area, and we were like, oh, this band's the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not also Operation Ivy, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like Less Than Jake. Like, I always think of them as a three-piece punk band with a horn section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But then finding the horn section is always a little tricky.
Yeah, yeah. We just kind of like to keep it tight-knit, I guess.
Yeah. And then, so Chris, who was in your band, who passed away, I mean, obviously I find that a really sad story. So did he go to high school with one?
He went to high school with Alex.
Okay.
Yeah. And
he was in your band.
He was in our band. We'd actually like split ways with him being in the band like shortly before his passing. He was going away to school and we wanted to kind of like focus fully on the band. But he was, you know, such a talent and a little bit, you know, maybe too smart for his own good. And he had a lot of opportunities, like, you know, with going to school for like physics and all this stuff. And that's like the path he chose to take. So we split up with him, and then like tragically he passed away like a couple weeks before graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's kind of when it's like this version of our, you know, journey as a band, I kind of look at as starting because, we, were like invited to play like a memorial thing for him on the football field out of Waterdown High School. And I remember like we got together to practice like a couple weeks after his passing, and just that was kind of the first time since he passed where I was like I felt some sort of connection.
Did you play a special song that you had written for that?
No. We've since had he's a lot of a handful of songs that are like inspired by that unfortunate experience, but I think they're just like, you know, we always really wanted to, you know, pursue music for ourselves, but there's definitely an ounce of like us continuing to do it not only for ourselves but for his memory.
Yeah, for sure. So if you weren't doing music right now, did any of you pursue some education after high school?
We all kind of like half-assedly pursued education. Like I originally was like going to go to like university for literature, but then I took like a 2-year college program for journalism. Alex did like, what did you do?
Pre-media and design, 1-year college course. I finished it.
That's what I was wondering, is what you would have studied.
I did 3 years in business.
Yeah, James took it. To the most logical end of like,
well, like it was really easy in like a college program, because not to be really rude to any college students that I might have gone to school with, but the program was a freaking joke. I sat at home smoking weed more than going to class. Yeah. And I'd show up.
Like, I can testify.
I'd write the exams and I was like, wow, this is like, I did learn a bunch of shit. I really appreciate the fact that I did that, but if I took the university angle, I don't think that I could have committed to the band as much as I did. And that was when we all decided to go to the same school. The school had a couple different locations, but that's when we first started to live together. Mm-hmm. And so we had like, we'd be standing in the kitchen, look at each other, be like, oh, should we go jam right now? Because we're all here. Yeah. So it wasn't like you had to organize a time to practice. It was just like we were there all the time.
All the time, surrounded by each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of pushed the band a little bit more. And I feel like if any of us took education a little bit more seriously, it would have, well, maybe I wouldn't be sitting on the street in Boston right now.
So as a like band that tours all the time, and do you have other jobs that you do like back at home, and how does that work trying to have a job back home and touring, living on the road all the time?
It's the constant flipping of jobs.
Yeah.
Like it's like the odd job, Jack, like jobs. Whatever. Like we had an opportunity for a while where we were all working for the same place for 2 years where we managed to be able to come in and out and still tour. Then unfortunately we had to part ways with that, and now like we all just kind of just switch whatever we can. Like the job's not nearly as important as having the ability to be on the road, so scrape together whatever money we can to pay whatever crap we have to pay and get back in the van.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But what about relationships back home? This is kind of a touchy one, but are any of you in relationships back home?
We all are.
You all
and
are?
I've been with my girlfriend Amanda since before we ever toured.
Yeah.
Since we were like 18, and she's super rad, and she's very independent, likes her. Like, she enjoys the time when I leave. You know what I mean?
She's like, glad to have you back. Glad to see you go.
Yeah, she's like, I can just like sit on the couch with the dog and like a glass of wine and just read and like not have to listen to you being like, let's do something. You know what I mean? So that's me and my relationship.
Mine's the same. Like I'm engaged. My fiance, we started kind of seeing each other at the beginning of a month and a half tour. So it was like, hey, this is great. I'm going to I'll text you every day, but I'm going to be gone for a month and a half.
Right.
So we kind of gave like an initial push to that, whereas like Travis is saying, he started like seeing Amanda before we ever started touring. Becca loses her friggin' mind when I'm home for more than 3 days. She's like, all right, this has been great. Go back out.
Time for you to go.
Yeah.
For sure. But is there jealousy with girlfriends and
not on my end, I don't think. Like Amanda's,
I tend to think we're not assholes, and I think that
they trust us as much as we trust them.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we're good.
Mutual trust and understanding, and you know,
I can totally understand why the jealousy could exist just from like seeing certain things on the road and the way that certain people tend to act. Like it's definitely that like rock and roll vibe where people can, you know, stray from the path of a committed relationship, but we have absolutely no reason or interest to do that, so we're good that way. But.
Right. And as a touring band, I assume you've slept on a lot of people's floors.
Oh, yeah.
And in a lot of different houses.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you have any funny stories about sleeping at someone's house that was...
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Probably.
Don't you got one?
Travis likes to sleepwalk.
Oh,
no. Oh! Like night
Which
terrors?
Which one
are you telling? Freiburg. Go Freiburg.
Oh, I'll tell that one. Yeah, go for That's it. A good one. So, we played in, like, a punk squad in Freiburg, Germany.
Oh, that one.
It was like...
There's two ones in Freiburg, Germany.
I know. This is a better one, though, yeah, for the listeners. This one isn't as embarrassing for Travis. It's just fucking hilarious for me. I'm reliving the night right now, and you can't... You might be able to hear it, but I'm smiling.
Yeah.
So, we essentially played in this punk squad. It was really cool. It was, like, one of the first shows of us ever being in Europe. And then we got to stay in, like, a room upstairs with, like, bunk beds. Now, Travis on the top bunk, I'm passed out underneath, and I hear some, like, shuffling on top, so I kind of wake up, and he just flying squirrels off the top bunk, lands flat on his face, jolts up faster than I've ever seen, and I look at him, Travis, you all right? He just walks away. Clearly, he went to the washroom or something. He comes back in, climbs back up into bed. He's totally fine.
I have no memory of it whatsoever.
Wow. Yeah.
But I was seriously concerned for what half a second until I just realized
how
funny
he hurt himself?
Yeah, he was fell on a concrete floor. Like, this is like 6 feet in the air.
No, I don't even remember being like, honestly, I hate to admit it, but most mornings on tour, I wake up in pain. and it's usually just from, like, abusing myself and not in the way of jumping off bunk beds. So I didn't notice.
You didn't have any special bruises or broken bones, obviously.
No, I don't think so. I got a hard skull, apparently.
Or you're made of rubber.
Yeah, that's also, that would be kind of neat. So the second time we were in Freiburg, like, a couple months ago, I feel like I kind of want to tell the story because it's even more ridiculous. We're staying at our friend Lauren's house, and Lauren has a couple roommates, and he has a, you know, a room set up for the bands, and we're all sleeping in the band room, and I wake up, and I'm sleeping, like, upside down on a mattress on the floor that is, like, in a room I've never been in my life, and I'm just in my underwear, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I get up and, like, walk out, and there's this guy standing at the doorway laughing. So I guess the story goes that I walked into his room in, like, the early morning when he was passed out and was just, like, standing there looking at him. And he was like, what the heck? And then he said that I got into bed next to him and then just, like, was like, and just grabbed some of the blankets and went to sleep. And he said he was just, what the heck? And he just, like, pushed me off the bed. And then I just got back up on the bed, and he was, like, he was pretty out of it. So he was just like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he said I was stealing the blankets all night. So, yeah, we're definitely sleepwalking.
We're going to have the hardest time trying to find places to sleep now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
This has only happened once.
People are going to be like, are you the band with the sleepwalker? Yeah. Forget it.
Never done anything malicious sleepwalking.
Right. Yeah.
The most harmful thing I did
Night
was
terrors are worse, I would think.
Yeah, I also have those.
That
but
was like
less frequently lately.
That was a long time ago.
And you haven't peed yourself in 7 months.
I haven't peed myself, like, since I was a child.
Oh, perfect.
So I'm good on that front.
Yeah. You've toured with so many awesome bands. And when I was looking through the list of all the bands that you've toured with, have there been any favorites or any maybe that have particularly been, like, that you were kind of... what's the word, intimidated by or kind of starstruck or something like that? You're like, I can't believe we're touring with this band, or I can't believe I met this person.
I feel like we've had a lot of opportunities to play shows with bands that you kind of get that feeling with. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily touring with them, but yeah, there's definitely been some occasions where I'm like, I just can't talk to this person because I like...
Who haven't you been able to talk to?
Hey, Travis, who?
Dave Haas is one of them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I was like, I would go to, like, a Dave Haas show and be like, I'd be like so happy to, like, talk to him as a fan at a show. But when we toured with the Falcon, I was like, he wasn't exactly, like, the most, like, outgoing person either. So I was just like, I'm just going to avoid the situation altogether because I, like, really love and respect him as a songwriter and musician. So I was just like, I'm just going to leave it at that. And then it's like, 2 months later, he comes through, like, playing a show in Hamilton. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a great set. Buy the record. This is awesome.
Right. You know, right.
Sometimes it's just hard to break that barrier of, like, being a super fan or being, like,
and
a peer.
Playing alongside them.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
Alex just doesn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, you just don't talk to him.
Sorry to answer for you.
James?
Well, I don't know, I'm usually over-talkative after a couple drinks, so I tend to not actually have that issue. But we did have, like, a cool opportunity to open up for me first in the Gimme Gimmes, and Fat Mike wasn't playing, but Eric Melvin was, and I was walking up the tiniest staircase, and he was walking down the tiniest staircase, and no words were able to come out of my mouth. Mm. I just made sounds at him.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, it was like right before our set too, and I was like, and I just walked away just like, oh, hang the head down. I don't know what just happened.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that. I'm a big Face-to-Face fan. And Trevor Keith is really intimidating to me.
Right.
And I know him now as a friend, but the first time I met him, I was like, I'm your biggest friend.
That's amazing. That's
awesome. And he's like, no, you're actually not, but okay.
Biggest friend.
I love that.
Yeah,
so
it's
much.
Just, yeah, it's hard to get those words out sometimes when you meet those people. Okay, so I have a quick game for you. Like I said, Jessica, my partner in crime, lives in Canada, and we have a couple, like, Canadian U.S. rivalry things going on. So I want to get your opinion on these things. Is it Montreal or Montreal?
Montreal.
Wait. Say it slow.
Montreal.
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 Fuck. Okay, she wins that one. Ketchup chips, yay or nay?
100%.
I love all chips, but they're not my favorite flavor.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Oh, fuck. I lose that one, too. You guys, I think Canadians, you guys are in cahoots. Okay, is it a boot or about?
About.
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 Oh, you guys are right on the fence, though. You're kind of saying about.
Yeah, I feel like a boot is, like, a very, like, East Coast Canadian slang.
Yeah, that's fair. There's, like, there's a big difference with a lot of Canadian slang, depending on
where you go. She's as far on the West Coast as you can get, and she says a boot.
Really?
Yeah, they
got it.
They
say about, like, I feel like it's kind of halfway
between the way. Yeah, it's right in the middle.
You guys say it, like, right in the middle. She's obsessed with Caesars.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Love them.
Okay.
Disgusting.
Right? Oh, okay. Thankfully, I have one on my side.
You've been touring in a freaking van across tons of places with me, and you've never heard me complain about Caesars?
I have.
You guys both go for Caesars. I go for a pint of Guinness in the morning.
That's I would go for a Guinness far above a Caesar. Mm. And the fact when I first heard it had clam juice in it, what
do you
the
like Bloody
fuck? Mary? No, I don't even like that either. So Bloody Mary with clam juice, even. Like, nasty. Yeah. Okay, so Jessica got 3 out of 4 on that.
I remember, like, one of the first times I was coming to the States and, like, ordering a Caesar and then looking at me being like, what?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh. Okay, I'll get a beer. Yeah. Like, but then I clued in, like, okay, it's like a specifically Canadian thing, more or less.
Yeah, she's obsessed. Okay, and then we have a couple fan questions. So Salvador from Boston wants to know, this is for James or Travis, how does it feel to have a bandmate who is in a more successful band called Rules?
It breaks my heart every time.
I'm okay with it. I support him in everything he does.
Okay, and this is from Craig from Boston. He wants to know, now that you're a big-time band, will your approach to touring be more professional? Or can we still expect the same haphazard Penske file experience? Now that you're big-time.
Well, now that we're big-time. Just going to... Craig, thank you for the question. I'd say that you'd probably see us on stage a little bit less with bands like, I don't know, let's say Rebuilder or something like that. But no, you still expect the same nonsense from us, yeah.
He mentioned something like using shoestrings as a belt or something.
We don't really have a lot of pride left. Mm-hmm. But like the ego gets bigger.
Right.
So we're good.
Yeah. It's a give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. And Jimmy Ankles, what song would you like Rebuilder to play at your wedding this fall?
Interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
They can just surprise me. Because not a chance I would
ever. Do they have any romantic songs?
I'd like to see My Heart Will Go On by them.
Yeah, nice cover of My Heart Will Go On.
You know what? I think that they actually would be able to pull that through.
Mm. I think they would.
If they want to be my cover band at the wedding, you're getting an okay from me. They definitely have to go through Rebecca, though, because she's not as easily convinced as I am.
I'd like to see that conversation. Honey, I have this band that wants to come play.
No, she actually wanted to invite them.
Oh.
It wasn't just me.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so this is like a very like mutual invite.
Okay.
But I don't know about like I don't know if she can truly understand my lack of trust of having those members together in front of a microphone at my wedding.
Right.
That just doesn't work.
Yeah. And so you guys do have an album coming out. So will you just tell me quickly about that? I downloaded the first two songs that are available. Right, so those are awesome.
Thank you.
When does the whole album, when is that available?
It comes out April 6th.
April 6th.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will be releasing this soon. So everybody please go to iTunes and download the album or...
Spotify,
all that
Google
stuff.
Play.
Google Play. I like iTunes because I'm like, I just want you to have my fucking $4, you know, or whatever, yeah. Right?
Mm. Well, thanks.
I know. but yeah, go to wherever you can find albums and music and please download the new The Penske File album. And so I also looked, so when I was researching for this, and nowhere does it ask you guys about the name of your band. I would think people would ask you that all the time, but is it the Seinfeld reference?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
It was actually Chris Skinner who we talked about before when we were like in grade 12, kind of phasing out of the whole ska punk thing and like, you know, trying to take a little bit of a different direction with the band. We were like, okay, let's change the band name. It's time, blah, blah, blah. Made a big list of names. Penske File was one of them. And it was the one that we all disagreed on the least. You okay. know what I mean? We were kind of like all okay with it.
Yeah.
And we're all like obvious signs of obvious fans of Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And if you look it up on Urban Dictionary, it's what is it described as, James?
So it essentially means looking like you're doing something
when you're not.
When you're not.
Yeah. Or you don't know what you're doing, yeah. but you're pretending to know what you're
Which
doing.
Which is like the perfect way of describing that episode of.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the band.
and also the band.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That time when we were in grade 12, it was very much a, like just we were just, you know, faking it.
Yeah.
We weren't faking the feelings, but
there's
like.
There's still a lot of faking.
Right, well,
not
yeah.
the feelings, 100%.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's that 30, 40, 50 minutes or whatever that we're on stage is just like 100% recaptures the reason why we do this. Mm-hmm. But like we definitely fake the like chivalry in the van sometimes. Like a 9-hour drive home.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like that's
all right. Looking forward to seeing you next time.
Yeah.
Not.
I'll really miss you over yeah. this, yeah, these yeah. next 3 weeks yeah. that I won't get to see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And finally, favorite punk rock women. Women in the scene that
I'd
are really killing it.
Right
maybe.
Now, I don't know her name. But I love the singer of Hop Along.
Oh, I don't know that.
I saw them in St. Catharines when we used to live there years and years ago, and I liked it. But then a friend of mine recently turned me on to them again, and her voice is just, it's so unique. It's got such a unique tone, mm-hmm. and the songs are really good. But yeah, Hop Along, you should check
cool,
it out.
I will.
It's really, really wicked. Yeah, that's what comes to mind right now mm-hmm. for me.
We toured with a band from the Netherlands called March.
Oh, yeah,
and,
for sure.
Yeah, they kill it.
Yeah, Fleur and...
You just blank on Kelly.
Kelly, Fleur and Kelly.
I'm sending this to Kelly.
Honestly, Kelly, that's a good one, because Kelly's like, I think, the best guitar player ever, like, that I've ever had the pleasure of, like, touring
really?
With and
yeah.
watching every
just
night.
Just killing it.
Just, like, fucking, it's, like, such a shredder, but, like, tastefully shredding and, like, a punk rock style, and it totally inspired me to be, like, a better guitar player, which is, like, something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So
that's
a very good one.
I feel like their dynamic works well, though, because, like, Fleur had the, like, the front woman mm-hmm. presence, mm-hmm. or front man presence, however you want to word this correctly. Mm-hmm. But then her vocals went really, really well with Kelly's, like, backup vocals, mm-hmm. and, like, their harmonies were unreal. But then they also, like, just the passion that Kelly had when she was shredding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, that was, like...
the rock guitar faces.
You completely understood how much they were loving playing when they were playing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
Tell me, did your dreams shake down like a butcher's knife? Did you bleed out a different life, sold on security? Who are